come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded teaching of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, Yet I Will Rejoice, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Habakkuk. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Amen. It's just so good to be with you today. And it is Happy Tuesday, isn't it? It's just Happy Tuesday. And we're excited that you have joined us here today. I've got to tell you, you have been preparing all your life for this day. All your life has been prepared for this day that you're living in right now. So God is good and life is tough. Don't get the two mixed up. That's what I learned from Kay Smith all those years ago. God is good and life is tough. Don't get the two mixed up. Sometimes we think that God is the tough one, but no, God is always good. As Corrie Ten Boom said, even in the days when she was in the concentration camp, God was good. The days when she had nothing, God is good. In the days when she had everything that she could ever desire, God is good. And so she is, I just love going back to that and remembering that God is always good. No matter what our situation is, God is always good. So whatever you're worried about right now, whatever it is right now, remember that God is good. So you can rest in Him, you can rejoice in Him, you can trust Him. I want to tell you right now, you can trust Him. Yeah, it's been a lot of weeks that we've been under this, whatever's going on, whatever you desire to, it's definitely a trial, whatever you want to call what's going on right now. It's been a long time. And you maybe want things to change a little faster than they are, but you know, I really want us to learn whatever God is speaking to us during this time. Just that we would learn what God has for us at this time. We can rest in Him, we can trust Him, we can rejoice in Him, because God's got this. God has got this. Now, a few announcements, and you might have to repeat that to yourself throughout the day. For some reason, I think that we need to repeat that to ourselves today, that God has got this. God's got this. God's got this. God is good. God has got this. And we can believe that He is good for us. Now, I want you to take note that it would be actually this Thursday, the 7th is National Day of Prayer. Now, normally, we would be all on the steps of City Hall, and we would be praying, we would be worshiping, we would be talking to one another, we would be talking about the things of the Lord, we would be letting people see that we are a people of prayer and that we love God. And however, we can't do that this time. So, here's your challenge. On Thursday, May 7th, National Day of Prayer, I got an idea. Let's all pray. Wherever we're at, let's all pray. Maybe you want to take your a few people in your family out on your front lawn and make a big deal about it, and that you are praying. This is National Day of Prayer, and we're going to pray for our nation. Maybe you have some other ideas on how that can be. Maybe throughout the day, you're calling people and praying with people. Maybe throughout the day, maybe at some point you're on Zoom and you're all praying together for our nation and for the things that God puts on your heart. But either way, let's keep this National Day of Prayer exactly what it is. Let's keep it the National Day of Prayer, and let's all pray. And you know, and if God calls you to fast, do that. Just do whatever God tells you to do. So whatever he tells you to do, do it. Most of you know that Tanya Hubert went to be with the Lord, and she did have a smile on her face when she left. She has been, I keep thinking battling with cancer, but she never battled it. It was always, she was always in the Lord's hands. She just did the next thing that God told her to do. So now she is looking at him face to face. She has no quarantine, no more quarantine for Tanya. She is looking at God face to face. She gets to see him face to face, and I'm excited for her. We are praying for her family, her son, and I think she has two daughters, if I'm correct. I might have that wrong. Don't be mad at me if I miss somebody, please. But particularly her 12-year-old daughter that I'm so really praying for her in this time. Now, Wednesday, every day at 12 o'clock, we have the fireside chats that are every day at 12 o'clock. You can tune in for them. However you're watching this, you can tune in for the fireside chats. But this Wednesday, so you're going to want to join us today at 12 o'clock, but then you're also going to want to join us tomorrow because it's Wilson Wednesday tomorrow. And tomorrow we have something very special for Mother's Day. So you want to tune in at that time. And if you have some memories of your mom and you would like to get those to us, there's a possibility that they would be able to be read during the weekend, or we'll do something with them. That sounds great, huh? We'll do something with them. But we'll take care of them, and we just want to know what, we want to honor the moms. We want to honor you moms, because this is your day, and we want to, we know that you might not be able to get together with your family. So we are just going to continue to bless you in whatever way that we can here at the church. One thing I want to let you know, we are still planning to have our women's retreat the second weekend of August, and I can't recall the dates right at the moment, but you'll be notified. We don't know what that's going to look like. We are planning toward it. This is something that God has put together, so we plan toward it, and we allow him to put it together. It may come up to that time that, no, we can't do it like we used to do it. That's all right. We'll do it a different way. So another reminder, food today is available to those who are people of refuge. If you attend refuge from 11 to 12 o'clock, you can come and pick up free food. They have eggs, they have milk, they have yogurt, we have fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, bread, cakes, pies, canned goods, all kinds of things. And you never know what you're going to get. So come on down at 11 to 12 o'clock if you're a person that goes to refuge on a regular basis. And if not, then wait for the 2 p.m. At 2 p.m., it's open to the public to come to have that. So, okay, Habakkuk. Oh my goodness, as I was looking through this study that was already written, and I realized that it has a dedication in it. And I wanted to read that dedication. It just touched my heart so much. To everyone whose faith was tested through the 2020 pandemic that our world faced, we came out of it stronger than before. Keep trusting God, believing God, and keep growing in the knowledge of our Heavenly Father. So that is the dedication of this book. God put this book together, and God put this study together. God told us to go to Habakkuk, so I'm excited about what we're doing. Also in the study, you'll notice that you have memory verses. Memory verses. There are only 3 memory verses for this study, and the one for this week is, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, because I'm going to do a work in your day that you wouldn't believe even though it were told to you. And God is doing that. He's doing that right now. And I'm excited to see which way that it will go. And our other memory verse for the next time, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. and the third one. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So, Father, as we just get into the study right now, Father, we pray, God, for your presence amongst us. Lord, we pray for you to minister by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, wherever we're standing, wherever we're sitting, wherever we're walking, however we are participating in this, Lord, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, Lord, that all hearts would be drawn to you. And Father, we just look to you, God, for what you have for us today. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we move into the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk's name means to embrace. It means embrace. And that's what we're looking at in Habakkuk. There's all different ways to say his name. You say it however you want to call it. You can even shorten it if you want to. Of course you can. He embraced the love of God. He embraced the Word of God. He embraced the direction of God, even though it was a hard thing. He embraced. He knows what it is to walk with God. He knows what it is to seek God's presence and to sit in God's presence. And I hope that we all know that. Nations and governments, also in your homework, nations and governments put credence in their military power, economic power, even in themselves. But in recent months, our world experienced something that affected all those things. The COVID-19 pandemic struck everyone at some level, and we find that to be true, right? The number of cases rose each day around the world as well as in the United States. People became fearful. People became anxious. People struggled with the changes in their lives. Many felt hopeless, and panic ruled some. Panic ruled some. The things people clung to or trusted in, like the economy, like science, or even their jobs, were no longer able to bring them security. Believers, however, like Habakkuk, clung to or embraced God and his promises, regardless of what was happening around them. We fell to our knees and prayed for our world, our nation, and for other believers to stand firm and share the hope, peace, and security that can only be found in Jesus. God showed his glory, mercy, and power in many instances. This word that is written in here, this section, this paragraph, is something we're going to be passing on to others. We will pass this on for years to come, however long the Lord tarries. And we will be those people when the next trial comes that we will be able to say, draw close to the Lord. And God's got this. You're going to make it. It's okay. You're going to live through this. There are three different parts of this study. And the first one is struggle and doubt. The second is God's sovereignty. And the last is lasting hope. And so we have that all in our homework here. And all of it is exactly what God has for us to pay attention to today. So why the book of Habakkuk, though? Why this little tiny book here? Because this book is a story that is going on today. It's the same story that's going on today. It is a story of correction. It's the story of judgment on more than just Judah. It takes place in Judah. Habakkuk's name is not mentioned anyplace else in the Bible, only this one place. But he is quoted in Romans, in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, and that was where the Protestant Reformation came out of that. And you can look that up also in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Habakkuk was originally a priest before he was a prophet. How do we know that? We know that by the very last sentence that is at the bottom of this book, where it says that it speaks to the chief musician to play it on my stringed instrument, on my stringed instrument. So the priest would be the one who would be speaking to the chief musician. But now he's a prophet, and not so much the prophet that we're used to, because this is a conversation that he's having with God. It's a conversation that he sees, actually. He prophesied in the years just after Assyria had fallen in 612 BC, but perhaps before the Babylonians had defeated Egypt in 605 BC, which would make them the top superpower in the Middle East. And so Babylon defeated Judah three times. So this is just the beginning, really. They defeated them three times in the next 20 years, carrying off hostages each time, in 605 BC, in 597 BC, and in 586 BC when Jerusalem was leveled. The other prophets that were at this time were Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Nahum, which we talked about last week. Habakkuk's conversation with God takes place on the watchtower, probably somewhere along the wall in of Jerusalem, and we'll see that in chapter 2 when we get to that. So what is going on in this little book that we have here? The first thing that's going on is, in this particular chapter, is that Habakkuk is arguing with God. He is complaining to God. He wants God to know exactly how he feels. And so God answers him, and God tells him what he's going to do. And then Habakkuk says, oh, no, well, I don't think that's a good idea. Do you really? I don't know. And could we talk about this a little bit? And you see how Habakkuk comes around to knowing God is in control. He's got this. And is it really those guys? Do you really want to do those guys to come in and be a part of the judgment on us, or a part of the correction on us? Is it really those guys? Because, you know, we're really better than those guys. And we just want God. Are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm kind of imagining that he went back to Psalm 73. And we're just going to go back to Psalm 73, if I can remember which one of these little things that I put in here to mark it. I'll just have to look it up again because I can't remember which one of these. Oh, it was the green one. Okay, so in Psalm 73, if you'll open your Bibles and follow along in there, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. So he's talking to those who love the Lord. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful. I was envious of those guys that had looked like they had it all together. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I was envious of that, for there are no pangs in their death. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. They are prideful people. And he's also speaking about himself here. Prideful people, we wear it like a necklace sometimes. Violence covers them like a garment. He's talking about what was going on in Habakkuk, in the book of Habakkuk at that day. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. Oppression. Oh, please. The poor people. Oh, please. They speak loftily. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens or against God, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. They take everything. And you'll see when we get further into Habakkuk, how when they came through, that's exactly how they came through. They emptied everything. And they say, how does your God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Where is God in all of the midst of this? Have you asked yourself that question recently? Where is God in the midst of all of this? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. When I say, have you felt that way? I'm not saying that you are the ungodly. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding here. But I am saying that this is the portion of our text that we're talking about. When we get into those situations, we think that possibly we are, we begin to doubt what God is and who God is. God is good all the time. Verse 13, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. That's exactly what Habakkuk is saying in chapter 1. He's saying, I look at this every day. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. I don't get it. I don't get it, God, why you're not doing anything about it. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. That's when I realized what was going on here. Then I understood their end. The ones that I'm looking at, the ones that I'm envious of, the ones that come in and take everything, the ones who are prideful, the ones who are creating violence, the ones who that he was talking about in chapter 1. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Now we're talking about those who are going to come in and do the judging, those who are going to do the correction. When the Chaldeans come in, the Babylonians come in, that you cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind when I realized what's going on. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. I complained to you, God. I complained to you like nothing else. And this is what you're doing. Nevertheless, I am continually with you, even in the midst of my complaining. Even in the midst of this situation that's going on, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel. And afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. So in this text, in Psalm 73, God is speaking to us and he's telling us, this is what was going on. This is what God was saying. I'm complaining. Habakkuk is complaining. God tells him what he's going to do. Habakkuk complains because he's going to do it that way. And then we move on. And so we have all of that going on. We don't understand. We don't understand what we have to be reminded of Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Habakkuk wants to know if God has forgotten his people. And we sometimes think that. So let's get right into the scripture right here. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. The prophet Habakkuk saw. So he was having a vision of himself talking with God. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you shall not hear, even cry out to you violence and you will not save? The translation here is, I scream out, God, why don't you do something? How can I live like this? when the people of God are living like that. He's speaking to the people in Judah. Who comes out of the tribe of Judah? David will come out of the tribe of Judah. Jesus will come out of the tribe of Judah. All of those. And you will not say, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? Why do I have to see all of this? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Have you noticed that going on at all in the day that we're living in right now? That those kind of judgments are put in. I went in to look up last night the number of cases or particular cases that were thrown out of court, or a murderer or someone who had done some horrible crime had gotten off because of a technicality, because the warrant wasn't there at the proper time, because the timing wasn't correct, because I accidentally found something, but I didn't have a search warrant there when I found it. And all of these things, that's what the world is today. That's what we're living in today. All of this from 1 to 4, this is all what we're living in. The leaders won't obey the law. Law was being twisted. It was being manipulated. Authorities were being paid off. And so what happens? Warren Wiersbe says that wrestling or struggling with challenges is the only way our faith can grow. It's the only way that our faith grows. You have to exercise your faith, just like I'm supposed to exercise my body. You have to exercise your faith. This has been an interesting time trying to exercise my body these days. So verse 5, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told to you. Now, I have used this verse how many times as an encouragement to people? How many times have I said, you know, God's going to work in your life in a way that you won't even believe it, even if he told it. And that is true. But in this case, this is the one that is in Acts 13:41. For I will work a work in your time. And the work that he was working in that time in Acts was speaking of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Acts 13:41. So this is not an encouragement to him. He says, I am at work. It is an encouragement in that. I am at work. I am doing that. I am at work in it. And this is how I'm going to do it. For indeed, I'm raising up the Chaldeans. Oh, yay! Thank you so much. I'm excited about that. And let me tell you what I know, God says. Let me tell you what I know about the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. A bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth. They want to take over everything to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible. They are dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceeds from themselves, so they're very prideful. Their horses also are swifter than leopards. They have the very best race horses to get through all of the things, to take over everyone else's everything, and more fierce than evening wolves that are hungry. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. Have you ever noticed? You've seen the pictures of how the eagle sits up quietly or is just floating on air, whatever that word is there. They're floating on the air, and all of a sudden they see something, and they get it just like that. They're not even seen. They sneak up on them in a silent way. That's what these people were like. They all come for the purpose of violence. They're all here. The Chaldeans are here for the purpose of violence. They want to hurt you. They want to hurt people. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. You know, as I read that, I go, that's the enemy. That's the enemy of our soul. He comes in like that. He tries to sneak in, and we'll talk a little bit about it as we get on. He tries to sneak in to our lives and deceive us into believing that things are true that are not true. They gather captives like sand. When it talks about the east wind in verse 9 here, their faces are set like the east wind, or east word, or a word that means that they are moving forward. But also put that together with the fact that when the east wind blows, it picks up everything and moves it. It scoops up everything, and it goes on to say they gather captives like sand. Just like that east wind comes in and they gather. The east wind gathers up into dunes, if you will. They scoff at kings. They don't take authority seriously. The princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. They heap up everything, and then they take it all. His mind changes. And he transgresses, he commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. And then they give it to their, oh yes, it was God, it was our God that did it, but really it was, our God is us. I'm my own God. That's what the Chaldeans were thinking. And so Habakkuk in verse 12, he goes into his second complaint, and he talks about what he knows. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. We shall not die. Habakkuk is speaking this now. Habakkuk is the one who said, I get it. Horrible people wish they weren't coming in. But they are coming in, and we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. You have appointed them for judgment. That's where Psalm 73 comes in. You have appointed them for judgment. So after the ungodly have come in and corrected us, corrected the believers, corrected your children, you will judge them for their actions. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are using them for correction. You are purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue? You don't say anything about it when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he. Are you going to keep quiet during all of this time, God? Where are you in the midst of this? Where are you? Oh, there you are, where you've always been, living in my heart. There you are. I recognize you. You've been walking with me. Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net and gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and they are glad. A dragnet brings in everything in its path, just like that east wind. And isn't that just like the enemy in our lives as well? It just comes along and it just draws in everything. Everything, everybody. But God. I want you to remember that God has warned Judah for over 150 years about their sin. This is Judah that we're talking about that was sinning. That was sinning. This is Judah that we were talking about. The ones who were followers of God. The ones who had moved into the promised land. This is Judah. They're living in sin. They're living like they don't know God. They're living like they're for themselves. There's violence. There's corruption. There's all kinds of things. And God says, I love you too much to let you to continue in that. And so correction has to be done. So 150 years, he warned them about their sin. God loved Judah too much to leave them in the state they were in. He needed to show them that the path they had been on was leading them to some hard, hard judgment. And Habakkuk lets God know that the ones who should be, that they are the ones who should be judged. His mind will be changed in chapter 2. And so, therefore they sacrifice to their net, verse 16, and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous. They brought it all in together, and now they're worshiping the very thing that they gathered. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? God will speak to Habakkuk in a way that only Habakkuk could understand it, and then Habakkuk will pass it on to us. Like I said in the beginning, God's got this. God's spirit will not always strive with man, though. There will come a time, as it did in the book of Judges, where the things have to be confronted. There may come a time when he says enough and judgment will be unavoidable. But in wrath, as it says in chapter 3, in wrath, remember mercy. God remembers mercy. God is mercy. God is love. You know, this was during a time after the time of Josiah, when Josiah was the little boy king. He was 8 years old when he took the throne. And in his 20s, they found the Torah as they dug through the rubble. And they rejoiced, and all the people rejoiced. But after Josiah was gone, the people stopped rejoicing in the Word of God. Because it can't be legislated. All the people rejoiced and followed the Torah for as long as Josiah was king. After that, they followed whatever the next leader told them to do. They experienced reformation, but they did not experience transformation. They experienced reformation, but they did not experience transformation. Back in 9/11, people experienced reformation, but not transformation. People were back to their old ways in 2 weeks' time. COVID-19 has changed me. I don't know about you, but it's changed me. I look at everything differently now. It's been a catalyst for me to see things more clearly in 2020. That's what we were promised at the very beginning of it. All of us said, this is a year we're going to see more clearly. Now we're seeing 2020, aren't we? Oh, there's a lot of things we don't understand. There's a lot of things that God's doing right now that we don't have a clue to. There's a lot of things that we wonder, how can this be, God? How can you allow this to be? I need to remind us. I need to remind me. He's warned us for a lot of years. Walk with me. Memorize my word. Hide my word in your heart. There has been transformation in my life. What about you? What about you? Has there been transformation in your life to date because of what you've been going through lately? Has God done a great work in and through you during this time? He will. He's changing us from the inside out, and that's the best change. When it's not an act just from the outside, when he changes us from the inside out, don't let injustice or the evil you see undermine your faith. Hang on to God. Hang on to the Lord. Hang on to him with all of your might. And you will be the one, like Habakkuk, that we'll get into next week, I will stand watch. I will pay attention to what you say, Lord. I will, on Thursday, on the National Day of Prayer, Lord, I will speak to you about this nation. I will speak to you about your people. Lord, I will be there to pray. And today, I will be there to pray. Today, Lord, I will be in your word. Today, I will seek your face. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, for this study through the book of Habakkuk. I thank you, Father, that you have given us all we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do. And yes, there are hard times. There are hard times coming, and we've been through some horrible times. But God, you are still on the throne. You are still God. You are still faithful. You are still good. And Father, we just give you the rest of this day. We want to glorify you. We want to lift up your name. Father, we want to be people who are wholly and completely committed to you. That, Lord, we can disagree with you, but know at the end of the day, you know exactly what's right, and we conform to what your desire is, because you have the better way. You have the best way. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for this time of work in our hearts. Lord, this time when everything's been taken away, so that we can invest our time in thinking of you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you honor and glory that's due to your name. Help us to understand more clearly your grace, and let's pass it on. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I look forward to seeing you next week. Look forward to seeing what God has for us. And I know that God is good and life is tough. Don't get the two mixed up. Those are the things that we've learned from this week and from this study. And we just want to continue to praise him. And don't forget to go to the... Fireside. Today at 12 o'clock, tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Don't forget to send us some of your things of what the what your things you remembered from your mom. And yeah. So keep doing great things for God. God bless you guys.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on.